We want to open our Bibles tonight in the book of Revelation, the chapter 12. 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, commencing to read at verse number 1. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, follow the reading of God's precious word tonight. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun and a moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared, or she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and then the exposition of the word. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that we can gather here around your word, and we ask thee that by your Holy Spirit that thou wilt speak to each and every one of our hearts. Pray that not one of us will miss the blessing, but that every one of us now bowing before thee will say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I pray that every sinner would even cry that tonight. Lord, speak to my heart. Open mine eyes that I might see Jesus. Lord, I pray that every backslider might cry that. Lord, open afresh mine eyes that I might see the beauty of the one that once I loved and walked with. And, oh God, I pray that every one of your children will pray it earnestly tonight. Lord, let me see your face. And, oh God, as we bow before thee, we ask of thee that by thy Spirit that thou wilt teach us from thy truth and lead us into all truth. We ask this not for our sake, but alone for the sake and the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his glory alone. Amen. Amen. When we come to the studying of God's precious and God's holy word, I believe that it comes very clear to us that there's no single scriptural theme that we find in the book of God from Genesis to Revelation that is more prominently and more constantly kept before our minds than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore I want us to see tonight that right from the very dawn of the scriptural record, we read how that the blood was shed. I want you to come with me just for a little from Genesis to Revelation just for a moment. Don't worry, we're not going to spend all night. But we're turning to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and it says this, concerning the sacrifice of Abel. And in Genesis chapter 4, we find in verse number 4, And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and to his offering. Now, when it comes to that, when you keep your hand there, but turn to the book of Hebrews, that great chapter of faith, and it speaks about this sacrifice that Abel made in Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." And what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to us this, that Abel's faith and God's pleasure in him was closely connected with the sacrificial blood of the lamb that was shed and the lamb that was slain. And it says, Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. It was the lamb that was slain. Now remember Cain, whenever he came and he made his offering to God as sacrifice, he didn't bring what God required. He didn't shed the blood, but instead of that, he brought the fruit of the ground. In other words, he brought the labors of his own hands. And it is true that I believe that Cain brought the best that he could offer. I have no doubt whatsoever that whenever Cain was choosing out the offering that he was going to make, he was offering to God the very best that he could give. And yet, my friends, the best that man can do will never, never merit anything in the sight of God. Neither will man's works take away the sin that pollutes and the guilt that plagues his heart. And so we find that indeed, that away back there in the dawn of history of man on this earth, we find the scripture record says that Cain brought to God and he offered to God the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the blood of the lamb was shed. Now, of course, for the next 1600 years, the scripture gives only a brief account of what happened for the next 1600 years. And yet we find that after that, God sends a flood. And when God sends the flood upon the earth, and you come to chapter 6, you find that God looked upon the earth, and God saw the sin, and he saw the wickedness of man, it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his heart was only evil continue. And it repented God that he had made man upon this earth, and it grieved God at the heart, and God said, "I will destroy man." And so God sends a flood to this earth. In other words, he sends his judgment upon the sin of the nation and the sin of the people. And God judges mankind for his sin. But God brought one family through that great flood. It was the family of Noah. And you know what you find is that whenever God brought them through, and you turn to chapter 8 of the book of Genesis, and you go to verse number 20, and you know what you find? That the very first act that is recorded in the Word of God of Noah after the flood, what was it? Verse 20 of chapter 8 of the book of Genesis. "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and he offered burnt offerings unto the Lord," or on the altar. "And the Lord smelled his sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease." But the very first act that whenever the flood was over and God had brought Noah's family through the flood and they were delivered, having been safe in the ark of God, which speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, my friend, the very first act that was recorded when Noah left the ark was the shedding of the blood. He builded an altar unto the Lord, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. A new beginning. But remember this thought. It was not without the blood being shed. Never forget that. Then you come to Genesis chapter 12. And when you come to Genesis chapter 12, you find that God is entering into a covenant relationship with man. He's entering into a covenant relationship with a man called Abraham. And there followed indeed the miraculous birth of Isaac, and God chose this people as a special people to serve him. But the purpose was not accomplished. This purpose that God had wasn't accomplished apart from the shedding of the blood. Do you remember that scene, Genesis chapter 22, when God took Abraham and he took his son there up onto the Mount Moriah? And there on the Mount Moriah, God called Abraham to offer his son there upon the altar. And that most solemn hour in Abram's life there on Mount Moriah, and he was about to slay his son. And then if you go to the verse number 12, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abram lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram, and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And so we find that indeed, that this relationship, this accomplishment of this relationship with God was not apart but from the shedding of the blood. The blood of the ram was shed instead of Isaac, Abram's son. And there we find the great lesson of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood in our guilty room and in our stead. And you see the theme of the shedding of blood, it's going through the whole of Scripture. 400 years pass. And after 400 years, you'll remember what happened. The children of Israel were down in Egypt. And then in the book of Exodus chapter 12, we find that God is delivering the children of Israel out of bondage. But you remember what was said? Israel was recognized as God's firstborn among the nations, but not without the shedding of blood. And you remember what God said, that the blood of the lamb was to be shed, and the lamb was to be slain, and the blood was to be put upon the doorposts of the door. And then this is what God said in Exodus chapter 12:13. When I see the blood, the blood of the innocent lamb, the blood of the sacrificial lamb, the blood of the substitutionary lamb, when I see the blood, says God, I will pass over, the judgment will pass over. But he said, I will stand guard over you. But friend, it wasn't without the shedding of blood. There was no safety. There was no place of hiding that night in Egypt for the firstborn of the children of Israel, but through the blood. There was a shedding of the blood, and any home where the blood was not applied, there was the angel of death passed in, and the judgment of God fell, and every Egyptian home, God came in judgment, and the firstborn was taken away. Why? Because the blood had not been shed. But thank God, in every home of the Israelites, the blood was shed, the lamb was slain, the blood was applied. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. 50 years pass. And after 50 years, Israel reaches Mount Sinai. And God has given his law as the foundation of his covenant. And that covenant had now to be established, listen carefully, but not without the blood. In Exodus chapter 24, you'll find there in that chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, in the verse number 5, it says this, "And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, and he read it in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient." And Moses took the blood, and he sprinkled it on the people, and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words." You see, friend, this covenant was established, but not without the shedding of the blood. And what we're finding as we read the scriptures, friend, is this. It is by the blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship. It is through the precious blood. In actual fact, turn to Exodus chapter 25, the next chapter. And immediately after that covenant was established, God commanded, Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." And praise God, the blood. The blood, it was the cleansing of the blood. It was the covenant of blood. And God says, "Listen, I will dwell among them." And thank God, you and I have fellowship with God. You and I can enter into God's presence tonight, and we can have fellowship with God through the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And you know, when you pass from the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, and you go through the book of Leviticus and Numbers and all the Old Testament through to the book of Malachi, and then you come into the New Testament, and you come to Calvary, and then you go on to the book of Revelation, and my friend, you'll find it in the very center, prominent place in all of the scriptures is the blood that was shed. For Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Actually, in fact, the very song of heaven, the very song that the redeemed sing in heaven, in Revelation chapter 5, it says this, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the four and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and out of every tongue, and out of every people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign forever and ever." But my friend, this is only because of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. Because without the cleansing and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We sang before the service started, our brother was leading them. What was the last thing one of the last things I heard? "There is a fountain filled with blood." And I say, Lord, is not a good preparation for the service tonight? Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, Cowper's hymn, "And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain." You remember way back in the book of Genesis, whenever man sinned, and whenever an Adam and Eve had sinned in that garden, and my friend, they tried to cover up their sin, they tried to cover up their shame, they tried to cover up their nakedness, and they were ashamed because of their sin, and they saw that they were naked before their own eyes, and before a righteous and a holy God. And as they were trying to sew those fig leaves together, the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of day. God says, "Adam, where are you?" And they ran, friend, and they hid themselves in among the trees of the garden. But what did God do? God covered their shame that came because of their sin. And how did God do it, friend? He took the lives of the innocent creatures and he gave them coats of skins. There was the covering and the shedding of the blood. And so I said to you, right through the scriptures, friend, right from Genesis to Revelation, the message is the message of the blood, the shed blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Why is the blood mentioned so often? Why is it so important to preach this message of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend? Let me tell you what the blood of Jesus does. First of all, the blood redeems us. redeems us. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll try to explain just exactly. And friend, even if we stopped there tonight, we would get a tremendous message. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18 it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed." Now what does it mean, redeemed? We'll come back to that. "Ye are not redeemed with corruptible things." And you know, notice what the Holy Ghost says. What the corruptible things are. "Such as silver and gold." And yet, my friend, that's what man craves for tonight. Men are looking for silver and men are looking for gold. They're trying to get earth's riches. And that's what they're building their lives upon. And many of them are damning their souls for. And yet the Word of God says, it's corruptible things. Corruptible things. He says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you are redeemed, verse 19, notice this, with the precious blood of Christ. You are redeemed. So here we find, this is something that's important because we're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Now, redemption means to deliver by paying a price. To deliver by paying a price. A ransom had to be paid. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't know. Praise God, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, He paid the ransom for our redemption. Ye are redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. You know, there are three Greek words for our one English word. For the word redemption or redeemed. And if you understand just exactly what those three words mean, then you'll see what it means when it says ye are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, the first Greek word simply means to purchase in the marketplace. That's his meaning. To purchase in the marketplace. And what the picture is this. Here is a slave standing in the marketplace. In other words, they're up for sale. In other words, they're helpless. They're sold. Or they're up for sale. And they're helpless. And humanly speaking, they're guilty and there's nothing, but they stand there for purchase. They stand for purchase to be sold in the marketplace. Now the Word of God tells us that that's the picture of the sinner. Sinners standing in the marketplace, sold to sin. Under the guilt of a broken law. Guilty, vile, helpless, hopeless is their condition. But praise God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ is able to purchase a sinner. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay the price of our redemption, to pay the price of our liberty, to pay the price of our freedom. The price of my redemption, friend. I stood in the marketplace, sold under sin, but praise God, He bought my soul through His blood on Calvary. I am a purchased possession tonight. Notice what the Scripture says. Ye are not your own, ye are bought. Ye are bought with a price. But praise God, the one who has bought us with His blood didn't buy us to leave us in slavery. Glory to God. He brought us to set us free. And that's what we've come to. The meaning of the word redemption. First word is to purchase in the marketplace. The second word is this. It means to buy out of the marketplace. Listen to this. Never to be sold again. To buy out of the marketplace, never to be sold again. Thank God tonight, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to buy us out of the marketplace and we're never to be sold again. Thank God He comes to give us the free gift of eternal life. And I want to tell you, friend, my redemption depends only
on the blood. My redemption and the salvation of my soul, it does not depend upon man. Praise God. It depends upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood has set me free. He finished the work of my redemption upon the cross. And I'll never to be sold again. That's why it says in John chapter 10, verse 28, that I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Why? Why, friend? Because we couldn't perish. Because the price of our liberty, the price of our freedom, the price of our salvation has been paid. Listen, God won't demand payment twice. And praise God, He buys me out. He redeems me from the marketplace, never to be sold again. Praise God, I'll never stand in the slave market again. Because He breaks the power of cancel sin. And the third meaning of the word redemption, the third Greek word, means loosing. In other words, setting free. Once the appropriate price had been paid. He set me free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Some years ago, there was a little boy here in Northern Ireland, and he had a little bird. And for hours, about 5 hours, he chased this little sparrow until finally he cornered it, and finally he got it. And there the wee boy was standing with a little sparrow in his hand, and boy, he was squeezing it tight because he had worked for so long and had spent so much energy to get that little bird and to catch it. And he didn't want to let it go, and so the little boy stood there and he was holding it, and the wee bird was with just his wee heart was pounding, and the wee bird was just trembling, shaking in the little boy's hand. A gentleman came past that little boy and he noticed this little bird in his hand, and he begged the wee boy. He begged the wee boy to let the little bird go. The wee boy says, no. He said, I spent the last number of hours in catching that little bird. I'm certainly not going to let it go. And the man, he did everything to get that wee bird's freedom until he finally said, he says, I'll buy it. How much will you take for the little bird's freedom? And so the boy started to badger with the man and the man with him until finally they settled on a price. And the man put his hand in his pocket and he took out the money and he handed the little boy the money. Now the boy was stronger than the little bird. And you know, after he got the money, the wee boy just left the little bird go. And for a moment, the little bird sat there, never moved. Because it just seemed it could hardly realize that I'm free. And then the little bird started to flutter its wings. And then suddenly, it rose up into the air. And the man said, I heard the little bird chirping as it flew into the air, as much as to say, thank you, for you have set me free. But friend, tell me, wasn't there a price of freedom? Wasn't there a price to be paid? You know, let me say this, just like that wee boy, friend. That wee boy was stronger than the bird. So the devil's stronger than you. And you have no power to set yourself free. And of yourself, my friend, you're caught in the grip of Satan. And you're held in his grip. And you're held by your sin. And you cannot. Maybe you've struggled. Maybe you've battled. And you've tried your best. I remember as a young preacher when I came to this town. I remember every Saturday night, come Sunday morning, I used to get a rap on the door on Highfield Road. And this fellow would maybe near 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, he used to rap on the door and he'd thump the door in to tell you the truth. He said, oh, not again tonight, be honest. You've said, oh, please, Lord, I need rest, but down you have to go because you were near. It was a big glass door we had on Highfield Road, and therefore you're afraid as before the porch was put on, you were afraid that he was going to put the glass in. And he was determined the door came in. And I remember him coming in, and I remember, friends, him going across the hallway, and that time it's just straight the hallway into the kitchen. He used to sit down with, I'd make him a cup of tea, but he was sitting there in his drunkenness. And he used to sit and cry because he was broken by booze. He was broken by booze. He was a slave. And you see the sin that had caught him. He was in the grip of the devil. And friend, let me tell you, he used to cry and he said to me, "Mr. McCrea, I tried to break the chains. I tried to get off it, but I couldn't." And there he was, a poor old slave of sin and Satan. And as he staggered down the road, friend, and everybody standing back and laughing at him and mocking at him, a poor fool of the devil. But he couldn't set himself free. Why? Because the devil that gripped him was stronger than him. Dear sinner, tonight, you are in the grip of Satan, and it's only Christ can set you free. One day he went to Calvary, and he paid a price for your redemption. Thank God he paid a price for my redemption. And I can say tonight, I am redeemed. Not with corruptible things of silver and gold. I can't buy my way into heaven. There's people, and somehow they think they can work their way into heaven. There's others think, well, I'll give to the church and I'll buy my way into heaven. Let me tell you, friend, you never buy your way into heaven because you're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, that the Spirit of God write that in your heart. That's the only answer for your sin. That's all that you need tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood. It's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. He breaks the power of counsel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the fellows clean. His blood avails for me. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it redeems me. It looses me. It sets me free by the payment of a price. He buys me out of the marketplace. Glory to God, never to be sold again. To deliver by paying the price purchased in the marketplace, bought by his blood. But the blood of Christ not only does that for me, friend, but it does something else. The blood of Christ blots out my sin. 1 John chapter 1. And in the verse number 7 it says this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God's, the precious blood of Jesus, cleanseth us. Now the word cleanseth, it's a continuous cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing from all sin. There's power in the blood. Turn back to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 43 for a moment, please. Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43 in verse number 25, it says this. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Blotting out our sins. Blotting them out. Go down to chapter 44 of Isaiah. Go to verse number 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You see, whenever we're redeemed, glory to God, our sins are blotted out. Blotted out. Do you ever look up in the heavens, you see a cloud? And you see a cloud, and then it's gone. Because it soon turns into vapor and it disappears. And you may see many other clouds, friend, but listen to me carefully. You'll never see that cloud again, because that cloud never appears again. You'll see many others, but that cloud is gone forever. Now God says, I have blotted out as of the cloud. God says, I have blotted out your transgressions. And as a cloud thy sins, God blots out our sins. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. For mine own sake. Listen, my friend, God is glorified in the blotting out of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all our sin. And if you're here tonight and you're carrying the burden of your sin and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ and you're still bound and fettered and chained by your sin, let me tell you, my friend, not only did Jesus Christ pay the price of your freedom at the cross of Calvary, but glory to God, when you come by faith to Christ, he'll blot out your sins. He'll blot them out, never to remember them against you anymore. Luke's Gospel chapter 7 tells us of a woman who came to the feet of Jesus one day. And that woman came to the feet of Christ, and her sins were many. The Lord knew exactly her heart. Aye, and so did she. Because the Bible tells us that she came behind the feet of Christ. She didn't dare stand before him. She just came behind him. And as she came with a broken heart, she knelt down at the feet of Jesus and she washed her feet with her tears. That woman had enjoyed her sin, but her sin had brought her pain. Because the Word of God says, sin when it is finished. There's always a price for sin. There's always a price for him. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There's always a price. You remember David and Bathsheba? David and Bathsheba entered into an ungodly, sinful relationship. And through that relationship, a child was born. But a price was paid. Because death stepped in and took that child away, breaking David's heart. And this woman comes behind the feet of Jesus, and she kneels down at the feet of Jesus with a broken heart because of her sin. She was a woman that beguiled many a man, friend. She was a woman that led many a man astray as she flaunted herself before him. But she doesn't flaunt herself before the Lord. She dare not. She comes behind him and she kneels at his feet. The Lord looked into her heart that day. And as the Lord looked into her heart, he saw a woman that was broken by her sin and because of her sin. And Jesus said to her these words, thy sins, her sins which are many. Yes, he said this to those that were around him. Because there were people looking on. And there were people judging. He said, you know, if he really was who he says he is, he would know who she is. He'd know she's a sinner. And Jesus said to them these words. He says, her sins which are many are forgiven her. And then he turned to the woman and he said, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Why did he say that, friend? Why did he say that? Why could Christ say to her, go in peace? It's because he blotted out in a moment. He blotted out her sin. He blotted it out. You read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 17 it says these words, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. What does that mean? It means that God blots them out. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Oh, the devil so often reminds us of the past, doesn't it? Whenever we come to Jesus and we claim the covering of the precious blood, and then the old devil seeks to come and torment us, and he accuses us of our past. Reminds us of the sins that we have committed, friend. Listen, you always remember this, that if the devil brings something up to you, that blood of Christ is cleansed, then you know that that's satanic accusation. That's not Holy Ghost conviction. Because God cannot convict you of something which God has forgotten. Remember that. Oh, there's many a child of God that's gone through trouble of mind because of the past. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And praise God, he blots out our sins and will not remember thy sins. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I told you before about the man who was in the prayer meeting with W.P. Nicholson. And when he was carried forth in prayer, and he started to wax eloquent in prayer, and then he says, Lord, you remember what I used to be in. Lord, you remember the sins that I used to be involved in and all the rest of it. And he was saying, Lord, you remember this, and Lord, you remember that about the past. Nicholson could take it no more, and he says, shut your mouth, you old fool. He says, God remembers nothing of the sort, that God has blotted them out. Friend, let me tell you, don't let the devil torment you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. The power of the blood! There's power in the blood tonight! Glory to God, the blood of Jesus redeems us! We are bought with a price! Glory to God, we're no longer in the slave market of sin anymore! We're freedom, glorious freedom in Christ! Rejoice in your freedom. Flutter your wings tonight. Fly into the air of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I am redeemed! Oh, praise the Lord! God give you the song of the redeemed tonight. Set free by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, cleansed, blotted out our sin by the blood of the Lamb. Justified freely by the blood of the Lamb. Romans chapter 5. I'll give you these, friends. You can study them yourself. Because we've got to draw our meeting nearly to a close. Romans chapter 5. Go to verse number 8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, justification, let me say this to you. Justification is more than pardon. God not only pardons your sin. He does, but praise God, it's more. He is more than pardon for sin. Justification means there isn't a charge against us. Justification means just as if I never sinned. You see, when God blots out your sin, friend, he completely wipes the record clear. No longer remembers. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter. It starts with, there is therefore now no condemnation. It ends up, there's no separation. But friend, this is what it says in verse 33. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Who's he that condemneth? Oh, the old world will, and the old devil and the powers and the imps of hell will try to condemn us. But who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Listen, friend. It tells us it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that has risen again. Because he died for our sins. And he rose again because of our justification. You see, at the cross of Jesus Christ, all that was needed to be done for the salvation of a lost, guilty soul was done. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. The blood of Jesus washed us whiter than the snow. If you're here tonight, and friend, let me tell you, you never worked your soul to save, but that my Lord has done. But I'll work like any slave for the sake of God's dear Son. I owe it all to him. That man said to me, how are you going to heaven? How are you sure of heaven? I say, I'm sure of heaven because of what Christ did for me. Only Jesus. That's the only way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I, who once was afar off from God, friend, standing in that old slave market of sin, a brat of hell on the way to a lost eternity, glory to God, Jesus came. And he bought my soul with his blood at Calvary. You know what he did? He brought me into a covenant relationship with himself. And with my Heavenly Father. And glory to God, that covenant relationship is an eternal covenant. And I'll never perish. Neither shall any pluck me out of his hand. He brings me nigh. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says these words. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. You can only approach the throne of God, friend, through the blood. Let me tell you, the blood ties a wonderful thing. You ever heard it said, listen, you know, you can say whatever you like about your family, but let somebody else say. And boys, I tell you, the old hackles get up. Do you know why? Because there's a tie of the blood. And you know, sometimes you get mad with them. Sometimes, boys, you humanly speaking, just, of course, I'm only talking not in realistic terms. You can nearly choke them because you get under your skin, boys. They really get at you. But boy, I tell you, let somebody else speak and let somebody else try and ridicule them. Do you see? You notice there's something. You know why? Because there's a tie. What is it? The tie of blood. The old statement is blood's thicker than water. But friend, let me tell you, there's another tie. There's another tie that's stronger than the natural ties of blood. There's the tie that binds brother to brother and sister to sister in Christ. It's the tie of the blood of the Lamb. You're my brother, you're my sister. In Jesus Christ, if you're saved tonight, we belong to the same family. We're saved by the same sovereign grace. We're washed in the same precious blood. And we who once were afar off, glory to God, were brought nigh. We're part of the family of God. We're sons and daughters in Christ. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Or 1 John says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. The blood of the Lamb. The blood brings reconciliation. Colossians 1 verse 20. It tells us there in Colossians 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. The blood brings reconciliation. Sin makes reconciliation necessary. The sinner is guilty of an offending a righteous and a holy God. And God can't disregard sin. God can't overlook sin. For sin must be punished. Sin must be punished and God's honor must be upheld. But thank God we're reconciled to God by the blood of the cross. The last thought is where we started tonight. Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God we're overcomers tonight. And I'm glad tonight I'm going to make heaven. I'm going to make it. People may laugh and people may doubt. People may scoff and people may scorn. But thank God I'll make it. And all the powers of hell will never keep me out of heaven. Because they overcame him. That's the devil. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Let me ask you a question. Have you been to Jesus with a cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We sang, what can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of the Lamb. May God give you grace to call upon the Lord tonight. May God give you grace to just come to the fountain of cleansing and be clean, clean through the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word tonight. We thank Thee for the precious blood that was shed for vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinners like me. Lord, I thank You that You stepped in to the situation of death and despair. And Lord Jesus, You died in my guilty room instead. And Lord, You've set me free. You give me a song of a soul set free, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, I asked you a question simply. Would you be free? Do you want to be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? Do you want victory? There's power in the blood. You've got to come by faith, simple childlike faith, and claim the power of the blood. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus that was shed for sinners. Glory to God. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? They asked the elders. And whence came they? These are they that have come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Would you be free tonight? Do you want to be free? Only through the blood of Jesus. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's sing that wee verse, just one verse, and then we're through. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. And if you want to come to the Lord, friend, if you want to be gloriously saved tonight, if you want to be clean through the blood, then come by faith to Jesus. Ask Him. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. He's only a prayer away. You say, preacher, lead me to Jesus tonight. I'd love to be saved. I'd love my sins washed away. All the guilt of the past. Oh, the burden of the guilt of the past. God says, I, even I, have blotted out thy sins as a cloud for mine own sake. Praise God, He'll do it if you come to Him. So our heads are bowed and we sing the verse. Just slip that hand, indicate that desire. Just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, Thank God there's cleansing in the blood for him.
Thank God there's reconciliation through the blood. You lift that hand right now. God bless you, friend. God bless you. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. You tell the Lord that tonight, friend. Lord, I'm coming. Just as her heads are bowed and her eyes are closed. I want to show that dear anxious soul just God's way of salvation. Lead him to Jesus. So, friend, we're going to stand to our feet in a moment. Every head will be bowed and every eye will be closed, and I want no one to be looking around. It's invitation day. And we're going to sing the little verse of that hymn. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is drawing very near. Will you come to him? And as we stand to our feet, that dear anxious soul, maybe you say, I didn't get my hand up, but I want to be saved tonight. I really do. Then friend, please leave your seat. I'll be down at the front. Every head will be bowed. If there's somebody with you as a believer, bring them with you, please. Don't come halfway. Run to Jesus tonight. And be saved. There's power in the blood. Let's stand to our feet. Just let's sing. Oh, be saved, sinner. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear friend, just leave your seat. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. Is there someone else tonight? Oh, be saved. His grace is free tonight. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, be saved. He died for thee. And let's just sing one final verse. Art thou waiting till tomorrow? Art thou waiting? Is there somebody else just right now? Friend, don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Come at once, accept his mercy. He's waiting. Friend, he's waiting for you tonight. Backslider, he's waiting for you to come back. You come tonight. Just leave that seat wherever you are. Don't be afraid or ashamed, friend. All be saved. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Then my heart's desire and prayer for you is that you might be saved. You're very near the kingdom tonight. And you're outside the gate. And God's answering prayer. Thank God for a precious soul. But what about you, friend? Are you waiting till tomorrow? Thou mayst never see his light. Come at once, accept his mercy. He's waiting.
is right when he's waiting. Come tonight. Oh God, thank you. From the depths of this preacher's heart, thank you for speaking. Please, Lord, I pray that the work of God might be done in hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen.